Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Before we begin, Josh.
Yes, Scott.
It is Christmas Eve.
It is indeed.
As we're talking, I'm most likely back in Indiana hanging out with my family.
Obviously, we are recording this ahead of time.
We're recording this ahead of time. As we
always do.
As they listen, I'm probably back in Indiana hanging out with my family. And there are... I've reached that point in my life where my family members are having children or have had children, and that
so you got a whole gaggle of nieces and nephews.
Nieces and nephews and second cousins and stuff like that just running around. I've got the Christmas specials are on, those Rankin Bass, which are good, but I'm glad they're only on once a year. Because I just get overloaded like mad.
I have a few of them on Laserdisc.
Yeah, I've got a few of them on DVD because
Laserdisc is cool. Again,
anyway, there's a couple of things on this episode. We are going to talk about how I can get away from those and deal with some adult subjects, maybe in Christmas horror. And stuff like that. Just the kids have gone to bed.
Non-traditional Christmas movies is what you're thinking?
The kids have gone to bed, and I want to watch a non-traditional Christmas movie. But first, what if I want to deal with the erotic side of being an adult?
Obviously, it wouldn't arrive by Christmas.
Obviously not. Their free shipping is not instantaneous. We're not there yet.
It might arrive by the end of the year.
Yeah, maybe.
But if you go to adamandeve.com.
Yes.
You can get yourself little Christmas gifts. You can get other people little Christmas gifts.
Can
get stocking stuffers. You can get stockings to stuff.
And our listeners can get us a belated Christmas gift, too, because we get a little bit of it. But check this out.
I've never thought of this. What if somebody uses our code STATIC to get the 50% off a single item, to get the 3 free DVDs, to get the free shipping, to get the free mystery gift, using that promo code STATIC, and they get it sent to us. Maybe buy us a gift from adamandeve.com. I never thought of that.
That's true. You can do that.
We'd get the commission off of it, too.
We'd get the commission, and we'd get the stuff, which would be nice. Not necessary, but nice. So there you go. That's how you can do it. Go to Adam and Eve. What's that promo code they can use?
Static.
Static. STATIC.
Yep. Static.
Just enter that in the
promo code box.
The promo code box, and there you go. So there's Adam and Eve. But
I wouldn't mind getting a weird belated weird sex toy box from Adam and Eve sent from a fan. As creepy as that sounds, I'd be kind of open to that.
Yeah, I'm curious myself.
And fans can email me if they want my home address.
And
I'm really hinting at this.
I know. And if you want to send, this is something that a listener brought up. He says, I want to send you something, but I don't want Josh to get it. Or I've actually, I want to send Josh something, but I don't want you to be bothered with it.
Okay, I've never had that one. But now I'm not going to use any names.
Right.
You've told me you've gotten some communications. There are some fans that really like you and really don't like me.
And I appreciate that. And I think that's part of what makes this show so much fun. But I'll tell you what, if you want to send me something and you don't want Josh to bother with it or something, get in touch with me. I know. Get in touch with me on Facebook and I'll probably give you a work address or a place you can send it. We are not going to get a P.O. box for Lost in the Static. It's just too prohibitively expensive at this point and wouldn't be worth it. And I realize
there's quite a few fans that have my home address at this point.
Yeah. And I'm not comfortable doing that, and more importantly, my wife is not comfortable doing that. So get in touch with me on Facebook or email me, smurray75@gmail.com. And I'll probably give you guys a work address, or there's a couple of cafes that I frequent enough that I can get mail. I've actually already gotten mail and packages sent to them. So just get in touch with me there, and I'll give you an address where you can send stuff if you really want to send us something physical. And thank you all very much for that. I appreciate it.
He's not being facetious on that. He really does.
I really do.
You should see when he gets fan mail that's just to him, especially the people that hate me and love him. He gets really happy. I mean, you really raise his spirits. Although I'm not so sure I appreciate the whole you hating me. I mean, to me, if you got a problem with me, email me and, you know, not just bitch to Scott about me.
Yeah,
but that's my thing about just being, you know, on the level.
But I really do appreciate it. And I've got a couple of fans and listeners that have become friends on Facebook. And thank you guys very much. I enjoy our conversations. We've had Francis up in Canada is one that I've talked to quite a bit. And he seems to lean toward my side of things, which is cool. And so thank you guys very much. And if you want to send us anything physical, let me know. You've gotten some movies.
I've gotten some movies. I've gotten some posters.
You've done some trading and stuff like that.
With some fans and things like that.
I haven't gotten squat, but that's okay.
Well, it's mostly Radiodrome fans.
I know.
Because I mean, when you're dealing with movies, it's usually on Radiodrome.
Exactly.
Tonight we're talking movies here, but that's not our normal.
That's not our normal thing. We kind of go all over the map. Speaking of which, you've invited me to do a couple more Radiodrome episodes.
In the future, yes.
In the future, and I'm looking forward to them. I really had a lot of fun doing that. And then, of course, our other show.
I do know you have a lot of trouble with keeping your mouth clean on that, since that one's
FCC-able. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm doing my best.
It's really funny to watch him kind of go, damn it, when he knows he's just
swore. Yeah. And then what's really fun is I also have another podcast that we try and keep very, very clean called Another Pagan Podcast that I do with my wife and our friend Teresa. And that one we try and keep clean for the kids. And it's difficult when you're just like, ah, fuck. Oh, God damn it.
I actually had somebody point out about our iTunes thing that Radiodrome is listed as clean.
Right.
And they said, really, you're talking about porn stars all the time and you're sponsored by Adam and Eve? And
right,
it's
right.
Like, but whenever we swear, I beep
language.
It out.
Exactly.
It's as clean as, you know, any FCC applicable shock jock show is.
Exactly.
So I don't consider that to be bad, because Lost and Static, obviously this is labeled explicit.
Right.
And I got no problem with that.
But having said all of that, thank you all. I have already gotten, it's actually... We're coming up on Thanksgiving here as we record this, and I've already gotten some well wishes from fans and emails and stuff, and I have absolutely no doubt that as Christmas gets closer, we'll get some more well wishers and stuff like that, and I really do appreciate it, and I really do enjoy the fan mail, and I read it all. Obviously, if it's something that is addressed to only Josh, he gets it first. If you do the lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com.
I forward those to Scott.
Josh gets it first, but he does forward them to me, and I do read them, and I do appreciate it.
And see, I have this policy. If you take the time to email me, good or bad, whether you're insulting me or not,
I will respond to you. Yeah.
You know, so if as long as I get it, if it's not caught in a spam filter or something, if you email me, you will get a response from me.
And if you guys are hearing a bell in the background, I have a kitty that just decided... Adelaide just jumped on his lap. Yep. So
we're about 10 minutes in. You want to actually talk about the topic?
Let's talk about some stuff. And again, as much as I love those Rankin Bass specials, as much as I had Olive the Other Reindeer by Matt Groening, and
do they still show that?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, because that one actually was pretty funny. I hated the CG animation in it, but
it's very 90s.
Funny.
It's
oh.
Very, very 90s.
Yeah. For those of you who were too young to remember the 90s, that was the height of CGI then.
Yeah. And well, not only was it the height of CG animation, but it was also that weird, we know this is animation, we're going to make everything look a little odd.
We're going to over-exaggerate for comedic effect.
And that was a very 90s art style. So I want to get away from all of that, and I want to get some adult stuff, not necessarily porn, but maybe Christmas horror or anything like that. What do you suggest?
Well, there's the obvious. You've got, I'm going to do a plug here, on It Came From Beyond Midnight. We did Silent Night, Bloody Night. 1974, I'm not going to call it a classic because it's not in any way.
Okay.
It's a 90-minute movie that could have been told in 50 minutes. I mean, there's even an entire segment of Midnight where we couldn't pin down anything that actually happened that affected the movie in any considerable way. So they come back and where Brandon and I are just playing video games and they're like, we got nothing to talk about. Nothing happened in that last segment. We did Christmas Evil on that, which is an interesting one. That's not the movie you expect it is.
Okay.
It is kind of a slashy movie, but it's about a guy who just, he loves Santa Claus. And as a kid, he sees Daddy dressed as Santa Claus going down on Mommy.
Ooh.
That fucks him up a little bit.
Yeah.
He loves Christmas. So now he's as an adult. Brandon Maggart is just amazing in this.
Okay.
And this is, with no pretension, a psychological movie. Happens to have some stabbings and shit, but it's a psychological movie. Remember, that's the one where I'm not going to ruin the ending. I showed you the last 5 minutes and you nearly shit your pants when you saw the ending.
Yes.
But you guys have to have seen the previous 90 minutes to understand why that ending is so batshit insane.
But it really is a good movie, Christmas Evil. And I remember there was some controversy around it, wasn't
there?
No,
not that one. You're thinking of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Oh, okay.
Because, see, the slasher movies had been going really strong up to that point, but they'd been really magnets for the critics, for the MPAA, things like that. And then the MPAA and the critics that hated these films got the perfect target. Silent Night, Deadly Night, 1984. Santa Claus as the killer.
Hmm.
And just brutally slashing people. There were national protests. Siskel and Ebert actually wanted to shame the people so much on their show after railing against the movie for about 20 minutes. They read the names of the entire cast and crew, and after each one went, shame on you. I'm not joking. You know, this film was a lightning rod for criticism.
Okay.
And I mean, it's an all right movie. It's not a great movie. It's not a bad movie either. You know, it's an 80s slasher movie. It is what it is.
It is.
And that was the lightning rod. So if you want something sort of adult, but sort of base at the same time, I'd go Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Okay.
Kind of try to avoid its sequels, though. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 will have you laughing your ass off unintentionally.
Ah.
But... okay, I'm just going to play something for you, and you're going to love it.
Okay.
All right, Scott. All right.
So you've had me look this up on YouTube, and it is apparently Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is Garbage Day, which I think I've seen. Okay.
Garbage Day! No!
All right.
Okay.
Garbage Day. You see, okay. Now, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 isn't even a real movie.
Okay.
It's a little less than half of a movie.
Okay. What do you mean?
What the distributors wanted to do was they just wanted to re-release Silent Night, Deadly Night under a different title to get people to go see it again.
All right.
And then a producer on that said, well, why don't we do this? We don't have enough money to actually make a new movie.
Okay.
Why don't we take a minor character, the little brother of the killer from the first movie, and then we'll just have him in a mental institution in framing sequences, and then we'll edit in all these other scenes from the first movie. So really, Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, half of the movie is the first movie told again. You know, and it's one of those great ones where the character is having flashbacks to scenes he was not present for. You know, so he could not possibly be flashing back to events where he was not.
So it's...
it's a really cheap way...
it's a clip show.
Basically. And some of the new things, the acting is terrible. Like you saw Garbage Day!
Which was just... yeah, to say that the actors are... okay.
Not at the top of their game.
No, and they're a little stiff. In the same way that Michelangelo's David is a little stiff.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, see, the actor that plays Ricky in that, the Garbage Day guy, he outright admitted he was not right for that part. The producers said he was not right for that part. The only other actor they had in mind, they said, basically, was ugly. They wanted somebody that looked good.
Okay.
So this guy was cast because he looked better than the actual guy that could act.
Wow.
They wanted a pretty person, and that's what they got.
Okay.
So Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, not even a real movie.
All right.
When you really get down to it.
So, all right. But what about, like, are there any good Christmas-themed horror-type movies aside from the ones that we mentioned?
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about the Silent Night, Deadly Night series.
Okay. Please go on. I'm sorry.
Then the third film actually is a sequel to the first film. So Silent Night, Deadly Night 3 is really, well, it's kind of a sequel to 2, which is kind of a...
Which is kind of a remake of one. Yeah, so it's
weirdly enough. And then 4 and 5 have nothing whatsoever to do with the franchise. Silent Night, Deadly Night 4 and 5 were standalone horror movies that happened to take place at Christmas.
So they just threw on the title.
They threw on the title and added the number to keep the sequel. So Silent Night, Deadly Night 4 is about a woman being inducted into a witch's coven. It takes place at Christmas. It's got nothing to do with Christmas.
other than the fact that there's
Christmas decorations around and there's snow on the ground. Otherwise, it's about a woman being inducted into a coven. And then the fifth one is about an evil toy maker. And they've got nothing to do with the franchise proper.
Huh.
So yeah, 4 and 5 are kind of weird in the franchise, to put it bluntly.
I mean, are they bad movies or...
I haven't seen 4 since it first came out on video in like 1990. I remember it being boring as fuck, honestly.
Okay.
I remember being bored as shit from that movie. But again, I was expecting a Silent Night, Deadly Night movie.
Right.
Not a horror movie that just happens to take place at Christmas.
Okay.
But if you want one... Now, what are you considering a Christmas movie? Something like Silent Night, Deadly Night 4 that takes place at Christmas, has Christmas trappings, or something that has to do with Christmas?
Well, I'm looking for something that I remember one particular movie that called Jack Frost.
Is that are you talking the Michael Keaton one or the Killer Snowman one?
Killer Snowman.
Okay.
Killer Snowman. And yeah, that I would call a wintertime movie because it had some Christmas, scenes there and kind of centered around Christmas, but not really.
Right.
But I'm looking for something that really has to do with Christmas. Is integral, and Christmas is really important to the plot. I can't talk tonight.
Well, because I was going to say one interesting one that is one of those just happens to take place at Christmas is have you ever seen Night of the Comet?
It's been a long, long time. A
lot of Christmas decorations around and, on the street lights and things like that. That mm-hmm. one takes place right between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay.
So that technically it's a Christmas movie, kind of.
Okay.
Sort of, kind of, almost, maybe.
Okay.
Well, and then you've got Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, if you really don't want to get serious.
Yeah, that's an old black and white one way back.
No, Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is color.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Santa Claus Conquers the Martians is color.
Which one I'm thinking of?
Maybe thinking of Santa Claus. There was Mystery Science Theater did one called Santa Claus that was a black and white movie.
Yeah, that may be it.
I think that one was black and white. Then there was that horrible Santa Claus movie in like 86 whatever.
Yeah.
A really dark one, not a horror movie, but I'm sorry, but Scrooged is fucking hilarious.
Scrooged is really good. It's
Scrooged is a great Christmas flick.
Good movie. Gremlins.
Gremlins, great Christmas flick.
Yes.
Again, not really kind of about happens, Christmas, yeah, but
Christmas is there, and what, I always hated Christmas because blah died in the chimney and.
Oh, yeah. Tell me you didn't fucking jump when the gremlin was hiding in the Christmas tree and his eyes looked like a couple of the lights and he jumps out at mom.
Oh yeah,
that didn't make you fucking jump in your seat.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, it did.
So yeah, there's Gremlins and. There's a lot of newer Christmas-themed horror movies that really aren't very good, like, Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S.
Yes.
You've got ones like that.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, it's both a Halloween movie and a Christmas movie.
Yeah, exactly, and it's kind of course, we're getting back into that kiddie realm, but...
It's kind of a darker kiddie.
It's a darker kiddie.
I know a lot
kiddie.
Of kids that were scared by Oogie Boogie.
Oh, exactly. And I absolutely love Oogie Boogie's Number. I think that's one of the best songs and best sequences in that movie.
It's a very good one, yes.
Exactly. So
I don't know. I got to go with This Is Halloween, but that's That's more just my taste.
I understand that.
You know, so I mean, like I'm saying, it's not Oogie Boogies is not bad. I'm not shitting on you for that. I'm just saying I much prefer, you know, This Is Halloween. But then you've got weird things. God, what is the name? I think it's just called Santa. It's some playoff Santa Claus where you've got Goldberg, the wrestler, playing an evil killer Santa Claus. And am I the only one that finds it ironic that Goldberg is Jewish and they have him playing Santa?
The Revenge of Hanukkah.
You know, am I the only one that finds that just mildly ironic?
A little bit.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Anyway.
But yeah, there's not a whole lot of Christmas-themed horror movies. You'd honestly think there would be more.
You would think.
Well, then there's Black Christmas from the 70s. That horrendous, horrible, abominable remake they came out with a couple of years ago that not only proved they didn't get the original film, but that they don't know how to make a suspenseful slasher flick.
Okay.
And the real shitty thing was that it was made by some filmmakers I really like.
Okay.
And that's Morgan and Wong. The guys that did, they were writers and producers on The X-Files and Millennium and Space Above and Beyond. They wrote for 21 Jump Street. They made Final Destination. They made The One. You know, and then Black Christmas is just horrible.
Okay. I might check that out just to, because every once in a while you got to see a really bad movie.
No,
to
but this isn't fun bad. This is just bad, bad.
Right.
This one's just, what were you thinking? This was just, you didn't get it.
Speaking of things like Black Christmas, and since you have a much better, what about blaxploitation Christmas movies? Were there any out there?
There weren't a whole lot. I mean, you know, there were some where, you know, again, Christmas might take place at Christmas time. But there weren't a whole lot that I can think of that really were about Christmas. More like, you know, you'd see the Christmas tree in the background and stuff, while the black guys, you know, karate chomping honkies and stuff like that.
Huh.
You know, because remember, blaxploitation had that great little 2-year run where they were infatuated with kung fu for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
You had all those black kung fu movies.
Well, let's at that time, everybody was kind of infatuated with kung fu.
Thank you, Enter the Dragon.
Yes.
Because Enter the Dragon, I mean, I know this isn't Christmas, but Enter the Dragon should not have been a hit. First of all, it was the first American kung fu movie.
Right.
American-backed. And it had everything going against it.
Okay.
There was no reason that film should have hit. It just came out at just the right time. And John Saxon, you know, plays the white guy in it.
Right.
He actually thought he was the star.
Oops.
You know, he thought he was there to, literally in an old interview, he was there to lend credibility to this movie.
But it was a good movie.
Yeah, John, you were really good in the flick, but you weren't the star. You weren't the main character. You were my favorite character, but you weren't the main character, John.
Right. So, okay. Well, what about? Let's see here. Trying to think of other good.
Maybe not movies, but Christmas like episodes of TV shows.
What happened to that? You don't see that too often anymore. It used to be every sitcom had a Christmas episode, and
it's because now and then you never know when you're going to air. You know, you could film these episodes in June of 2010, and they're not going to air until October of 2011. You never know when you're going to actually air. So that's why Medium, when they were on NBC all those years, remember that they CBS picked them up for their final season,
right,
or two. On NBC, they never knew when they were going to air because everyone asked, why didn't Medium ever have a Halloween episode? You know, because the show is kind of built perfect for that.
Sure.
And they said, because we were always starting in February, the Halloween episode would have aired in the middle of winter. Yeah. You know, on a CBS, we knew when we were going to, so we could finally do a Halloween episode in the final fucking season. You know, so that's part of the problem now is the way they schedule these things, unless you're a big hit, you don't know when you're going to fucking air. Whereas like Millennium, that the Fox show with Lance Henriksen, their Christmas episode in season 2 was phenomenal.
Sure.
You know, the X-Files had a couple of really good Christmas episodes that really did get the whole Monster of the Week thing and the feel of Christmas.
Yes.
At the same time. But like you said, yeah, sitcoms used to do that all the time.
Oh, yeah. A very special episode. You always had the very special episodes around Christmas time. You know, well, and
you also, if you had two shows that had linked continuities.
Mm-hmm. Crossovers.
Yeah. Like, remember the Gloria spinoff from All in the Family? Only lasted one season where Gloria got her own show?
Nope. Don't remember it at all.
She left Mike because he joined a commune and wanted to give all their possessions away. So she took Joey, left Mike, moved back to Queens, and got a job as a vet tech employed by Burgess Meredith.
Okay.
And the show lasted one season. Well, on the one night they had Archie Bunker's Place Christmas episode, followed by the Gloria Christmas episode, and the two stories linked, even though the characters never met on camera. Hmm. You know, Archie at the end of his, him and Steffi were going to go to Gloria's house, and then the Gloria episode picks up with Archie and Steffi having just left.
In fact, the last sitcom that I remember having really, really great Christmas episodes and Halloween episodes specifically was Roseanne.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah, Roseanne always had, especially, they seemed to go all out on Halloween. And it was, I think, because of Roseanne that really intricate pumpkin carving style got really popular for a while, because you'd always wonder what kind of goofy stuff they did with the Roseanne pumpkins this year.
Right, right. But yeah, I agree with you. The Christmas stuff was, you know, they always did a pretty decent until that last season, but I want to forget that last. Everyone wants to forget that last season existed. Yeah. And I think Roseanne wants to forget that last season existed.
And to tell you the truth, when it comes to The Simpsons, I don't think that the regular Simpsons show has been funny for about 5 years.
Longer than that.
Oh, okay. Me. But I haven't seen a really, truly funny episode of The Simpsons in a while. But one thing that I used to always look forward to was their Treehouse of Horror, that little anthology of horror stories. And
you just did it. You just called it Treehouse of Horror. That's what it is now. Look at the first three. They're the Simpsons Halloween special.
Right, right.
They didn't actually change the title until the fourth one. But it just bugs me that the first three are not a Treehouse of Horror. They're the Simpsons Halloween special.
I understand that. But how long has it been since the fourth season of the 16 years?
I'm just saying that's something that bothers me.
But it seems like in the past, 5-6 years, Even the Halloween episodes and the Christmas episodes of The Simpsons that I used to look forward to haven't been very good.
No, when you know what's ironic about The Simpsons Christmas?
Mm.
Even though that was the second to last episode of the first season, it was the pilot.
Really?
Because they ran into such production delays. They were supposed to be on in September, but the show kept running behind.
Right.
The first episode aired was the Christmas special.
Oh, wow.
So that became the de facto first episode, even though if you look back, because remember the first season had some continuity to it.
Yeah.
If you look back, because like, remember, they get Santa's Little Helper in that.
Right.
Santa's Little Helper is not in like, you know, 8 other episodes of that season, because those all take place before that.
Huh.
So yeah, The Simpsons Christmas. And that used to be a tradition, too. I mean, for years into the 90s, Fox would show The Simpsons Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Or remember Married with Children's It's a Bundiful Life?
Yes.
That two-parter?
Yes.
And that's the only Married with Children that was ever released on VHS, that one hour-long episode.
Really?
It's the only Married with Children that ever got a VHS release back in the day. And, you know, that's the one for the listeners who might not know it. That's the one where you find out Sam Kinison is Al's guardian angel and none too happy about it.
Understandable.
I still think their first Christmas, it wasn't a special, but the first season Married with Children Christmas episode, I still laugh my ass off.
It is
so dark.
There is one network that tends to go kind of all out for Christmas, and that every single one of their shows still has a Christmas episode, and they tend to keep it on time. And
ABC.
ABC somewhat, but Cartoon Network, believe it or not.
Right now Venture Brothers is the only thing I watch on that.
I understand. Well, Venture Brothers always has their Christmas-themed episode that usually sticks around that time.
They even had a one special too, a Christmas special.
And then you've got Robot Chicken that has a Christmas special, whether you like it or not. I know you don't, but they always have a Christmas special. Most of the Adult Swim, I know this year they've got a Squidbillies special, and they've got a couple others that will be Christmas themed specials, but even shows on regular Cartoon Network, like Adventure Time, which I really like. I know you don't. That's okay. But I really like Adventure Time and
Dexter's
a couple
Lab
others
and stuff like that. Back in the
day, Dexter's Lab and stuff would have Christmas themed episodes. But for some reason, Cartoon Network and to some extent the Disney Channel will have those holiday specials aired in a timely manner and will always have those specials. That's why ABC does, is because they're under control by Disney. And whether you like Disney or not, I'll admit they still know how to run a good TV network. They've got 34 of them.
Well, okay, here's something. Now, I don't think this is going to be up your alley, but I don't know. Does your wife make you watch all those Hallmark Christmas movies that are on, you know, all December, or like ABC Families, you know?
They're 25 Days of Christmas,
yeah,
and all that.
Shit like that.
Not too much. Every once in a while we'll catch one. Halloween is her thing, and her Christmas time movie, believe it or not, is Hocus Pocus, which she catches around Halloween, and that's something that we watch every year, and it's just a tradition.
To me, Hocus Pocus, not a great movie, but good God, do they get the feel of Halloween right in that movie.
Yeah.
That movie feels like Halloween through and through.
We've talked about it. Yeah, it's not a great movie. And what the hell happened to Sarah Jessica Parker? She was cute in that movie.
Actually, so was the fat chick, the fat witch. She wasn't too bad.
Kathy Najimy?
Yeah.
Because they always... and I
couldn't
noticed
remember
these
her name.
In the promos, I think it's hilarious. Starring Bette Midler and Sarah Jessica Parker. And then they never, ever give Kathy Najimy any credit, even though she's a third main character.
Or Thora Birch.
Or Thora, yeah.
You know, or Sean Murray. Now he's big on NCIS.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so Sean Murray was in that. And that was almost Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
He turned that down for, I think it was, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Dumb career move on his part, but.
Meh.
I was being sarcastic.
I know.
Okay. But yeah, they just Christmas specials, they or like the Hallmark stuff. My wife always watches that stuff, and it's just it's so hokey and so
sugary. That's one of the things my wife, thank God, doesn't get into the saccharine sweet stuff or the Lifetime, you know, she's a powerful woman and must overcome these horrible problems all caused by a man type movies. She never got into those, and it's just it's not her style, thank God. So we occasionally watch now her sister on the other hand. Ooh boy. And we will she's also a Twilight huge Twilight fan and stuff like that. And
that's terrible.
So sometimes we look at my wife's sister and go, aw. You know, she'll grow up someday. So I will occasionally catch those, but in my house, if we catch them, it's to laugh at them.
See, really. To me, that's the kind of stuff that flipping channels, you go, oh, that's on. Click.
Well, we normally
do. My wife will go, oh, that's on. Ooh, it looks interesting. And it's like, oh, come on.
Now, I'll tell you one, this has nothing to do with Christmas, but they are movies that we love to watch in our house and that you can pretty much count on every Saturday, because we'll give them the Riff Tracks MST3K Cinematic Titanic type treatment.
Okay.
And that's the sci-fi movies, monster movies like Sharktopus
the Roger Corman.
Yeah. Facts. Oh yeah. And, so that's the one thing that we enjoy, and that's one thing that I appreciate with sci-fi on Saturday afternoons. I know I can always kind of get away from that holiday thing and watch something utterly dumb.
Speaking of movies, I know you do it the same we all do. Christmas Day, Christmas Story, 24 Hours.
No.
You know you watch it a couple of times.
No, we don't.
Really?
It is not on in this house. Now, again, I'm down visiting relatives. It may be on at their house, but I'm not watching it. We have that on DVD. No, we don't. My wife's sister does. And I've...
I really used to like that movie.
Yeah.
I've seen it way too much.
It is a good movie if you can get away from it. And if you can forget it for a while, it is a good movie. And I can see, you know, that It's a Wonderful Life and some of those other ones that are just holiday tradition. I can see why having them on Christmas is a decent idea and everything like that. But 24 hours of it, come on.
Do you know that the guy that directed that, do you know some of his other films, Bob Clark's?
No, what?
The original Black Christmas.
Really?
And Porky's.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that would explain some of the humor.
It's like, yes, that's the same Bob Clark from Black Christmas and Porky's that did Christmas Story.
I wish they would bring back the Porky's franchise.
I don't. They're terrible.
Now, there's one that's just, I mean,
a franchise that's thankfully dead.
See, to me, though, I think Porky's is everything past the original American Pie movie. All the National Lampoon stuff that they do that's absolutely horrible. That I throw in the same pile as Porky's, as, you know.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Excellent.
It's legitimately funny.
Yes.
It's got some real dark humor. I mean, when the cat blows up under the chair.
Hilarious.
You tell me you didn't laugh even though you're a cat lover.
Animal lover in general. Laughed hilariously.
Or when the Christmas tree goes up and they're running around with the squirrel on his back and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Where's the aspirin?
Exactly. But what I'm...
Shitter was full.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you one franchise I'd like to see die. Harold and Kumar.
I will not go see 3D Christmas. I have no interest in it. I haven't seen Guantanamo Bay. I've only seen the first Harold and Kumar. And it wasn't that funny.
No.
I mean, yeah, there were a few amusing parts. There were a couple of parts I seen, you know, but they have the same problem that Family Guy has, jokes that go on too long. The whole thing about the black guy being intellectual and the cops just thinking he was responsible for every crime in town, that's funny for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
To drag that joke out over an entire half hour,
yeah.
It's not funny anymore. It's not social commentary anymore.
Right.
It's just a bad attempt at humor.
Exactly. And that's what I think a lot of modern movies where they fail is in timing.
Yeah. Comedy is all about timing.
Exactly. And brevity is a big part of that timing.
That's something Seth MacFarlane and his crew don't seem to understand on Family Guy
and See,
American now, Dad.
I like Family Guy. I do. I'll admit I like it. The flashback thing, even now, Seth MacFarlane is starting to make fun of his set up the joke, run it. One recent episode, Stewie and Brian went back into time, and they actually reran footage from one of the first episodes of Family Guy, and it's hilarious because they're watching as Peter sets up the flashback, and then all of the action in the house freezes for a couple of minutes, and Brian looks at Stewie and goes, is that what we were doing during those flashbacks back then? He's like, wow, man, that's creepy. So yeah, you know,
still not laughing.
I know but I find it funny. But yeah, As the Andy Kaufman movie, Man in the Moon.
I have not seen it.
Okay, he goes and he asks, Maharishi, what is the secret to comedy? And the Maharishi says, silence. And that's what sets up the famous Saturday Night Live skit of him basically mouthing along to the Mighty Mouse theme song.
Here I come to save the day.
Exactly. Well, it was inspired by this Maharishi who said silence was the key to comedy.
Okay.
And I think that's something that a lot of modern comedy producers have forgotten. And what is it with your phone tonight? You're popular.
I don't know. So.
Who knows?
That was a text, though.
Yes, so. But you're still very popular tonight.
But then you also have, now, you have those Christmas movies that are right down the line. They're trying to be for adults, but they're so stupid, they become kids' films like Jingle All the Way.
Ugh.
I am so sick of people telling me this is not a kids' movie. Have you watched it? This is a kids' movie.
Yes.
You know, or you get the ones that are made for drunk high teenagers. Eight Crazy Nights.
Yes.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, I can't believe that that movie
got greenlit in the first place.
Well, that, but my God, the fucking amount of poop humor and butthole jokes in that thing. That could not have been made for somebody with over the emotional age of 12. Right. Yet the movie's got this message about being true to yourself and, you know, overcoming pain and suffering and overcoming loss. And you're going, okay, that's clearly supposed to be an adult movie. And then you've got deer licking frozen poop off of a guy you dumped a porta potty on.
Yeah.
Kind of sending mixed messages here, Sandler.
Well, that was also indicative of the time. And we're starting to come out of that age of comedy, too. Because there was a while there, especially in the early 2000s, like the first decade,
yeah.
where everything, and I blame American Pie for this. I blame American Pie and that entire series for this, where everything was sex and poop jokes.
I don't know if I blame it specifically because there were a lot of other factors, you know, Jackass being as popular as it was. That was all about, you know, can we swallow horse cum? Look, that's funny, right?
Yeah.
No, it's not funny.
Yeah, no, it's just sick. And luckily we're starting to come out of that now and we're starting to get some more intelligent humor to it. Thank God.
Have you seen the trailer for 21 Jump Street?
No.
I almost shit in anger.
Okay.
As a fan of the original series, I am offended.
Okay.
At what Jonah Hill has done.
See, I wasn't a fan of the original series, and I haven't seen the trailers anyway.
Brad and I talked about this on Radiodrome once. He wasn't a fan of the original series, and he was offended at how bad this trailer is. I'll show you the trailer after we're done recording this. It's as bad as you think it is.
Okay.
It really is.
All right. Now, one movie that well, again, by the time this airs, it'll be out. But one that really has piqued my interest is Hugo. Have you seen the trailers for it yet?
Probably not.
It's been kind of under the radar, but
is that the Christmas one with the elf that gets left behind or some shit?
No, that's
animated one.
No, that's Arthur Christmas.
Okay.
That, by the way, that's a movie that. Something about it has rubbed me the wrong way. I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to judge
it. Yeah, because as we're recording this, it's not out yet.
Right. I haven't seen it, but it's done by Aardman Animation. Now, Aardman is kind of famous for their Wallace and Gromit and that kind of style.
The Chicken Run.
Flushed Away, Chicken Run, Wallace and Gromit. They've all had a very unique style to them that is definitely Aardman in both writing and in physical manifestation.
Okay.
This Arthur Christmas is the first time that they've gotten away from that style. And I'm really hoping that it's not indicative of future Aardman. Because from what I hear, it's not bad. It's not great. It just kind of is.
Well, and then let's go back to Sappy. Polar Express.
Oh, creepy, creepy fucking movie.
Well, that's because you and the Uncanny Valley.
Me and the let's just
deal with the voice acting and the story, okay?
Okay.
And let's leave the creepy Uncanny Valley stuff out.
Okay.
Because I know that creeps you out. Story is so sappy and so middle of the road. We want to be absolutely family friendly that it just made me go, ugh.
Yeah, but it's straight out of the book.
It's still, ugh.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what ones that people want to see a really great ultraviolet Christmas short? You're going to have to find it a bootleg because they can never officially release this.
Okay.
The Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special. It's based on the comic book. Lobo is an intergalactic bounty hunter.
Okay.
An assassin. And the Easter Bunny is sick of Santa Claus getting all of the attention for the holiday. So he hires Lobo to take out Santa. let's put it this way. Santa's not a pushover. We're talking beheadings, sword fights, guns under the table. Wow. He castrates the Easter Bunny. There's elves being killed nonstop in this thing. It's an ultra-violent little 15-minute short film called The Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special.
Huh.
It was made as basically a fan film slash student film at UCLA. And because they didn't have the rights from DC, they can never officially release right. it. But there are really high quality bootlegs out there on
Let's
the net.
Let's see if I can find it. Well, the other another little short student film that you'll want to check out that definitely rotates around Christmas is prior to them being on TV at all, the South Park guys did a really short little South Park episode, and it
the Jesus was a, versus it
was,
Santa
yeah,
thing.
Jesus versus Santa. Now they did a TV version that was out there that was not nearly as good.
I didn't like the original. I remember when the original was going around.
And yeah, I caught funny. The original and I thought it was pretty good. Either way, it's worth checking out. South Park, at least here in the States, has been, you know, a pretty decent cultural. Pretty decent cultural. Impact, and it's worth seeing where it came from.
One thing I've been liking, and I don't know if this is to do with Christmas or not, on TV lately, have you noticed all those Angel Victoria's Secret commercials that they've been putting out?
Yes.
I don't know if that's Christmas related or if they would have done that regardless, but those aren't bad commercials.
No, they're not.
So, like I said, maybe I can thank Christmas for that a little bit. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's has to do with their line of lingerie being called Angel.
But, you know, Angels kind of fold into Christmas and shit like that. So
I don't know. When it comes to...
Any real Christmas-themed video games? You know,
yes.
Such as...
If you want to go classic, 1994, Jazz Jackrabbit did a Christmas version.
Okay, I don't even know that game. I know. Is that a PC game or
PC game?
Okay,
Runs under DOS. Look under DOS box. If Pushing Up Roses ever hears this show, which I highly doubt, that would be one hell of a Let's Play.
I don't even know what
Jazz Jackrabbit. This is back during the Sonic age when
Sonic was kicking the shit out of Mario.
Sonic was kicking the shit out of Mario, and speed was everything. Two games released: Jazz Jackrabbit, and then Jazz Jackrabbit, a Christmas edition of it. Beat the hell out of Sonic for playability. It was a lot of fun. It was very challenging. And in the Christmas one, everything rotates around Christmas. Lemmings, again, released about the same time, has Lemmings Holidays, which is Christmas themed. If you want to go modern on your iPhone, Angry Birds Seasons.
I just thought of one when you said the Lemmings one. I don't know why it made me think of this. But I can't think of the full title. The Simpsons one on PS2 where they're, you know, Taxi Cab, Simpsons Crazy Taxi or whatever.
Hit and Run.
Hit and Run, that's it. No, that's not a Christmas game.
No.
But do you know what will happen if you mess with your clock?
What?
On October 31st, the game, all of the graphics change to being Halloween.
Oh.
There's jack-o'-lanterns on porches, and you can run down little witches and ghosts. And on Christmas, everything gets Christmas. There's snow everywhere, lights in the trees on December 25th. And if you want to do that now, all you got to do is go in and fuck with your clock.
Exactly.
And change it to December 25th. So Simpsons Hit and Run, if you play it on Christmas Day, or your clock says it's Christmas Day, that's a Christmas game.
Well, The Sims. I just thought of that. The Sims. We'll have, depending on the clock, they'll have various seasonal.
I think that's kind of cool when deals. Games do that.
Little Easter eggs.
They read the internal clock. I mean, I've done that before. We're in the middle of summer. I'm in the mood to play Hit and Run Halloween, so I'll go fuck with the clock to make it October 31st for a couple hours. And then I don't forget to put it back.
The Sims will do that. I'm trying to think. There were a couple other games.
I'm sure, like garbage, like Farmville and all those goofy online. I don't play any of that stuff, so I don't know.
I don't play the Facebook games, and anytime I get one in my newsfeed, I block it.
You know, you have a dead cat on your lap right now.
She's not dead. She's sleeping.
Her head's hanging over your leg, like,
and she's drooling. She's sleepy. She's been
very sleepy,
like crazy.
So, we got about 6 minutes left, and we've been out of something to talk about for about 20 minutes
it's
now,
okay.
If you haven't
noticed.
We've been
covering a lot of Christmas stuff. But yeah, modern video games. If you want a Christmas feel to it, Angry Birds Seasons.
See, I've never played it.
I've got it on my iPod.
I don't understand.
All you have to do is shoot a couple of birds.
Yeah, I've seen it, and I just don't see how this is going to
stick in your blood.
It's like the theme from Reanimator. Just try and get that fucker out of your head.
Exactly. Or the theme song from Buckaroo Banzai.
Oh yes.
I hear that once, I'll be whistling it all day, and it's not a bad thing. It's just the way it is. But Merry Christmas, everybody. Whether if you don't celebrate it, if me saying Merry Christmas offends you, then Happy Holidays. Yeah. Happy Holidays. But
you just pissed off Bill O'Reilly, culture warrior.
You know what? Bill O'Reilly can suck my big fat dick. And I don't care. There is no war on Christmas. The only war on Christmas happens when you end up with siblings fighting over a Christmas gift.
Or when we decide to invade Afghanistan on December 25th kind of shit.
Jesus. But the happy holidays, everybody. I hope you're having a good time. I know I probably am. And I know Josh is probably watching some silly movie.
I'm probably
right
watching
now.
Some porn down in the basement.
You know.
That's most likely what I'm doing on Christmas.
And what? I will be down in Indiana with my family getting lots and lots of
drunk.
No.
You're not going to go get lots and lots of drunk?
No, that's a New Year's thing.
See, I've never understood that. What's the whole point of celebrating New Year's if you're not going to remember it the next day? I know we've talked about that in drinking, but
sometimes there are things that you do that you're glad you don't remember the next day.
But then you wonder why you've got crabs all of a sudden, and you're kind of like, I wish I could remember who gave me these.
Nah.
Nah, you just deal with it.
You get the shampoo and you deal with it. No.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is.
So what I'm saying is Christmas doesn't mean anything to me. If you're going to be extra nice to somebody or give some money to a charity or something, or, you know, help somebody pay their electric bill or something.
Do it year round.
Exactly. Don't just go, well, it's Christmas time, I'm going to help somebody. Do it in September. Do it in July. In March.
To me, the reason I like Christmas is because my family usually end up getting the holidays off. And since we're kind of spread all over the place, Christmas is one of those times of the year when nobody's working. We all get the chance to get together and spend some time with one another, which I don't get to do with a lot of my family members.
Well, you also realize that this is airing on
Christmas Eve.
Nobody's going to be listening to this. I mean, they'll probably get it on the archives, but, you know, the ratings for this episode, the airing ratings are going to be garbage.
So be it. You know, good. Good. I'm glad. Don't, if you are listening to this on Christmas Eve,
why?
I'm sorry.
Are you really so desperate that you can listen to two idiots prattle on internet radio?
Maybe we're a chance for them to escape from their family for a little while. If that's the case, congratulations. I'm glad we could do that for an hour. Otherwise, dude. Really?
Us? Really? You choose us on Christmas?
I wouldn't even choose us on Christmas.
We wouldn't choose each other on Christmas.
Exactly.
Well, because, like I said, I can't remember if I told you this on mic or off mic, but, you know, I was recently asked in an interview about whether when you and I fight, whether it's real or not.
Yep.
It's real. Scott and I are really mad at each other. We don't script any of this show. You know, the closest we come to having a script is going into the Adam and Eve promo and going, here, follow my lead.
Exactly.
That's the closest we go to having a script.
Exactly.
I've got an idea, just follow my lead.
Exactly. Or occasionally it'll be, what do you want to talk about this week? Well, blah. Well, no, I don't want to talk about blah. Let's
having
talk about
a topic,
this.
I don't think that's really a script. Right.
But nonetheless, yeah, we really do fight on occasion. And as per you guys' suggestions/requests, we've toned it down quite a bit, and we're avoiding some subjects.
Fans want us to do that. It's like, no, there's no way we're not getting into a fist fight over this one.
No.
So right.
Music.
Yeah,
is a
people
big
want
one.
Another music one, and it's like, no. You know, Scott and I cannot do that because
we just can't. I'm sorry.
Our musical tastes are so divergent.
Exactly. But nonetheless, Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining us. If you're listening on the archive, thanks a lot for downloading. Bless you, Josh.
order something from adamandeve.com. Use the promo code static. We need money. And like I said, if you want to order some stuff for us, that'd be really cool. Brad gets all these great mystery gifts that people send him of sex videos and stuff. Why can't we?
I don't know. But if you do want to send us something, get in touch. But thanks a lot, everybody. Happy holidays. We'll see you next week.
Good night.